For those of you who are here Wednesday night, we're in Joshua chapter 1 this last Wednesday night, talking about the idea of New Year's resolutions and the idea of doing right in the coming year. And as I was thinking about this passage, I probably could even preach more messages on it, but another kind of similar but a little different line came to my thinking as I was still reading through this week. So I decided to go ahead and continue to speak on this passage this Sunday morning as well. The title of the message is God's Answers for Life's Responsibilities. God's Answers for Life's Responsibilities. There's a progression, I believe, in these verses. We first see the promises of God and the responsibilities of Joshua. So the promises of God and the responsibilities of Joshua, we read that where he's got to go into the promised land. And God had promised the land to the people. And God says that you are to go into the land, and I've promised it to the people. So Joshua's responsibilities and God's promises. Next, the exhortation to be people of the word, or for Joshua to be a leader that's in the word, live life with God's word at the center. So Joshua is encouraged to live life with God's word central in his life. And then the idea at the end, remember that God is with you. Don't worry, God is with you. Many things are going to come up, but don't worry, God is with you. So God has a plan for our lives. He didn't just have a plan for Joshua's life, he has a plan for our lives as well. And he has given his word as a guide, and through it, he promises that he will be with you throughout your life. So let's pray before we go further into the message. Lord, we need your help today. Lord, your spirit will work in hearts and lives that are open. And I pray for that to be the case, that hearts and minds would be open to your word. I pray that you'd help me as I bring forth your word, to bring it forth clearly and to be understood. Father, I pray that you'd use me as a vessel to communicate your truth. Father, you are, again, so good in just giving us your word, to give us understanding, to help us to have understanding how you want us to live each and every day of our lives. And Lord, we don't have to walk around in blindness. We have so much of your truth available to guide us and direct us on a daily basis. So I pray that you would help us to take advantage of those truths in your word. Lord, thank you for this time that we could gather together around your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this message, we'll see that we can face life's responsibilities because of these encouragements that God gives to Joshua. These are encouragements that God gives to Joshua, but if we take them and apply them to our own lives, we can face life's responsibilities as well. We're going to look at three truths about God that will help you through the circumstances that come into your life. So assuming you are following God's plan, you can fulfill your responsibilities that have been given to you by God in a godly way, assuming you are following God's commands and you are surrendered to Him. You can do it. You can do what God has called you to do. And some of you might be like, I don't know what God has called me to do. God never called me on the phone and told me what I'm supposed to do. God never gave me those directions. No, none of you ever had a phone call directly from God to give you those directions. But what are your responsibilities? I would like a raise of hands here. How many fathers out there? How many fathers? Okay. Has God given any responsibilities for fathers in His Word? Yeah, He has. Plenty of them. How many mothers out there? Yeah, plenty of mothers. Has God given responsibilities for mothers? Yes. How many of you are children? Oh, that one's pretty easy, isn't it? Pretty easy. All of us are children. Some of us may still have our parents, some of us may not. But as a child, God has given responsibilities. Son or daughter, students, employees, supervisors, business owners, church members, church officers, deacon, treasurer, trustee, usher, Sunday school teacher. God has given responsibilities to each one of us. And obviously, there are so many other responsibilities, but for time's sake, I'm not going to go through. I just named a few of the responsibilities that God has given to us as Christians, and He wants to help us fulfill those responsibilities in a God-honoring way. So, Noah, God has given you responsibilities. You might not even thought about it before. I like to pick on Noah. If you go to camp with me, you get picked on. So that's why only a couple people ever dare to go with me. So, but Noah has responsibilities that he's supposed to fulfill as a son. He's still living under his dad's roof. He's still a son. He still has to obey his parents. So he's like, what do you mean I have to obey them? I'm 21 now. No, you're still living at home. You're still under their roof. You got to obey your parents. And you should obey and honor them even after you move out, right? I mean, you should still honor your parents. Maybe obedience isn't in the same way, but still should honor your parents. So we all have these responsibilities. And number one, you can fulfill your responsibilities that have been given you by God because of God's promises. Because of God's promises. Verse 5, let's just read that again, verse 5 and 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I have been with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So because of God's promises, you can fulfill those responsibilities. What are the promises that Joshua could count on God keeping? Specifically, they're found in verses 2 through 6, but the promise of the land, that God would give them the land, verses 2 and verse 6. The promise is restated in verse 3 in a different way. Notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So, the promise is restated in verse 3, and every place you go, every place you walk, where your shoes happen to land, that's a place that I've given you. Now, think about this. That not only speaks of God going to keep his promise, but Joshua has a part to play in it. He has to go out and go into the land and go to every place that God has said to that he's promised. So God's promise, man's responsibility. Every place where you go, you are responsible to go, Joshua, and to conquer the land. God gives specific boundaries in verse 4. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. So God gives specific boundaries, and he gives directions and a goal to accomplish. So these are responsibilities. God's saying, this is where I want you to go, and this is the land I've given you, but you have to go and claim it. You have to go and conquer it. You know, God gives them these specific places so that they could go and do God's specific commands. Now, they didn't fulfill that, but God gave them specific commands so they could do exactly what he asked them to do. But it also was a goal-oriented that if they would have gone forward and been obedient, they would have been able to see God's promises fulfilled. They never did at that point because they never were obedient in completely doing what God wanted them to do. So, verse 5, we already read that. No man will be able to stand before you. He had witnessed, you know, he'd witnessed this firsthand. Remember Korah's rebellion? And when Korah stood up against Moses, he was not able to stand up. In fact, the ground went out from underneath him. No man stood before Moses, and no man will be able to stand before you. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In these promises, there were both blessings and responsibilities. See, God gives promises. There's both blessings and responsibilities often for us to fulfill. God promised blessing, and Joshua and the people were to be responsible for obedience and action. So God gave Joshua a big job to do and big shoes to fill. Can you imagine the responsibility of taking over Moses' job? I can't imagine one of the greatest leaders ever to live, and God says to Joshua, you're going to stand in his place now. You're going to do his job. Now, Joshua had had a lot of on-the-job training because he had spent a lot of time as Moses's, just spending time with Moses. And I can't imagine even after spending all those years with Moses, what qualifications did Moses have anyway? And I just thought of a couple right off the top of my head. Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto a friend. I can't imagine taking over for a guy who had talked face to face with God, just like a friend. That is a huge responsibility. And then there's also the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the earth. So how do you take over for a guy like that? You know, it should be obvious for us today that some of these promises were specific to the responsibilities that God gave Joshua and may not be applicable to us. The idea of conquering the land. We don't have to conquer the land, and that promise is not for us. I don't think we're exactly promised. We are promised that God will be with us, but not in the same way that he was with Moses. And Joshua was promised that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you to accomplish this great task. But Christians have been given a lot of promises. There's a book out there, and I think there's thousands of promises that this author has come up with in the Bible for God's people. And we have been given so many promises. And just like Joshua, God gives us blessings and responsibilities. 2 Peter, I'll just read this. 2 Peter 1:3 enforces this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Just even this passage, even in this, there are great promises, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious, what? Promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God's precious promises to the believer. So what are a few of the precious promises that a Christian can find in God's word? And there, I mean, I could have kept going on forever here. And I wanted a list that was not too short because I want to help people understand that we have a lot of blessings, but not a list that's too long because after about 12 o'clock, people start looking at their clock watches. So, but don't worry, you don't have to come back tonight. So I can go over a little bit because you don't have to come back tonight. So don't look at your clock. Don't look at your watch. That thing's not up there for you. It's up there for me. So what are some promises? Well, obviously the first one, eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God's promises, everlasting life. A child, we are a child of God. John 1:12, but as many as they received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are sons of God. We are heirs and have an inheritance, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I can't even wrap my head around that completely. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The magnitude of that blessing, we don't even consider, I don't think, most times. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The blessing that we will be glorified. John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promised blessing that we have available, that we have a future home in heaven. We have a dwelling place. Not only that, we have access to God now. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have the blessing of access to God. And then, not only that, you know, I think for some of us, sometimes we sin or we do wrong or we see ourselves as we truly are, as sinful, even though we're saved, we see ourselves as sinful, and often we don't believe that God could love us. But we are loved by God, even when you sin. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The love that God has bestowed upon us. And then the idea that nothing can separate us from God's love. None of the things you do can separate you from God's love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35-39. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us, and nothing we can do can separate us from that love, and nothing anybody else can do. And he is a God that forgives sin. Colossians gives my sin, and he's promised he will forgive my sin. Colossians 2:13-14, and ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven some of your trespasses. No, forgiven all your trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And then 1 John 1:9, all of you should know this one by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you getting the idea that we are super blessed? And all these promises that God has given to us? Not only that, we're free from condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not only that, because of all that, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are no longer the enemies of God, as Scripture talks about those who are unsaved, but now we have peace with God. What a promise. A blessed promise to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, we're chosen by God. 1 Peter 2:9-10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now ye have attained mercy. Just think of the promise of mercy. I mean, there are so many, even in these verses that I'm reading, there's other promises and other blessings that we could just keep multiplying them. Only a couple more, but that doesn't mean I'm done. He had compassion for our weakness. You are weak people. So, no, I'm strong. No, we are weak. Hebrews 4, the only time we're strong is when we are in the Spirit. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's when we tell God, I'm weak, that's when we have find strength to get through each and every day. You know, the amazing thing is, God is at work in my life. Isn't that a great promise to know that God is at work in my life? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in and through you. And then the last blessing that I wanted to hit, we could keep going on through the whole time. We could take the next 40 minutes that we're, and oh, we could keep going on for probably all day if we wanted to keep searching the scripture. But the last one, our God is good. Our God is good to us. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So folks, we have many great and precious promises as Christians, and these promised blessings and many more have been bestowed upon Christians with spiritual blessings, though come responsibility. With spiritual blessings come responsibility. God had laid out for Joshua his responsibilities. We could say that was God's will for Joshua's life. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an idea what God's will is for your life? Do you have an idea what God's will is for your life? I can say for sure that his will is partly revealed in that list of responsibilities that each one of you have. Father, husband, wife, daughter, son, church member. God has given you part of his will in that you fulfill those responsibilities the way his word says. So his will is partly revealed or given in the list of responsibilities we listed earlier. An example of that would be that a father or a husband should lead his family. I remember I was taking a class years ago on Christian family for a master's, and the title of one book just always stuck in my head. Out of all the books I read for that class, this is the one that just never goes away, because I think it is so true for many of our Christian marriages today. And he states it in his title, Husbands Who Won't Lead and Wives Who Won't Follow. Husbands Who Won't Lead and Wives Who Won't Follow. That was the title of his book on the Christian family. In our Christian homes, there are, and again, this is responsibilities we have because of the blessings we have as Christians. In our Christians' homes, there are way too many passive husbands and assertive wives. Passive husbands and assertive wives. And I observe that over and over again in churches and in just society around us, other Christians that I know from other churches that I've observed. I don't know how many times I've heard that a wife I've heard just recently of wives that say, we're going to go to this church. I don't like this church anymore. We're going to this church. And the husband just follows along. It's like, oh, yes, ma'am. I don't want to cause any problems. That's what we'll do, honey. And that just causes problems in the home. A father or a husband is to lead the home. Look at, we don't have time to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the idea of the husband leading the home and the wives submitting to their husbands. Of course, the husband needs to lead in love, in kindness, and as Christ led the church. And so it's not a beat them over your head caveman type of leadership. It's a leading through love. But men, if you have a family, if you have a wife, you need to be leading them like God's word says. Have you ever heard a wife tell her husband that he could not do something in a commanding way? You know, I've heard wives say, no, we're not doing that. No, you cannot do that. And they just say it in a commanding way. And it's like, whoa, I know who's in charge in that house. You know, what would be a better way to communicate a disagreement and a decision your husband is making? Honey, I can't say it like, honey, you know, honey, do you think that's wise? Do you think that's what God would want us to do? That's a lot better way to communicate I disagree on something is, honey, if you think that that's what God wants us to do, I'll follow you, but should we consider this? Or should we consider that? Husband, you should be the kind of spiritual leader that gives your wife confidence that you are, that you've prayed through the decision, you're in God's word all the time, and you should give your wife confidence that the decisions you're making are based upon your true belief that it is what God wants you to do, and not just what you want to do. That doesn't mean that you'll never make a mistake or fall. You know, even godly leaders make mistakes. Even godly leaders do the wrong thing at times. I think of Joshua. He's going into the promised land. God said, I'll be with you. And one of the things that come up is the Gibeonites come up to him. And, you know, they make the wrong decision with the Gibeonites. Probably, and we're told exactly, but probably didn't take it to God and ask for God's plan in the matter. And he makes a mistake, but does that stop him from being the leader? No. And wives, you have to realize that at times, your husbands are going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that they're not the leader anymore. It just means that they're human. And guys, listen to your wives. Some of the biggest blunders I've made is when I didn't listen to my wife when she said, honey, do you think that that's the best thing to do? No, I'm going to do it. Are you sure? No, I'm going to do it. I wish I listened to my wife. You know, God has given wives to be a helpmeet for us, to help us with decisions. But in the end, the wife should just say to her husband, you know what? God has put you in control, and it's up to you to make that decision, and I'll follow you. And even if it blows up in our face, I'm not going to bring it back up. I'm not going to bring it back up because I've chosen to follow you imperfect as you are. You know, I don't think, except for myself, I don't think there's any perfect husbands out there. Oh, no, wait a second. You know, I don't think there's any perfect husbands out there. But God still said they are to be the ones to lead. That's God's decision, not ours. And the more we submit to God's decisions in our lives, the better off we will be. So, overall, Joshua was a great example of leadership, I believe, in his home and in his country. And it was Joshua's commitment that he said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to do it the way God said. We're going to carry out our responsibilities the way God said to do it. And we're going to leave the consequences up to him. So let me ask you, has God given a lot of promises to the Christian? We only scratch the surface in the ones I said. What are you responsible for? Joshua was responsible for a lot. Do you know what God's word says about your responsibilities, and do you follow those? Men, do you lead in your home? Women, do you submit to your husbands? Men, do you love your wives as Christ loved the church? That's a huge, huge standard, guys. That's a big responsibility, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Guys, we got a lot of work to do. I think probably more Christians' wives would be more willing to follow if they saw their husbands loving them the way Christ loved the church, being unselfish in their lives, showing that kind of strong yet loving leadership that Christ showed. That was point number one. Point number two. You can fulfill your responsibilities that have been given you by God because of the effectiveness of God's word. That's verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Obviously, I don't have time to cover all that's in those, but the idea here is that how are we going to fulfill our responsibilities or the tasks that God has given to us? We need to be people of the Word. That means the Bible has to be central in our life. The Bible has to be the center, and all things come out from that. The Bible has to mold us and conform us to the image of Christ. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove was it a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you want to know God's will in your life and fulfill the responsibilities that God has for you, you can't be conformed to the world, but you need to be conformed to God. You need to be transformed from your old way of thinking into God's way. God gave Joshua a task, but he could not complete that responsibility in his own wisdom and his own strength and his own thinking. What happened when he started thinking like himself is the Gibeonites. And we don't have time to go into that story. If you don't know it, you'd have to go through and read. He would need to study the word daily to complete it correctly. You know, we don't know what a day will bring. Not being in the Word daily is like setting out on a road trip, heading for a destination, never having been there, only having a vague idea. You're going across three or four states. I just have a vague idea where this destination is. And no, honey, I do not need a map. And no, honey, I do not need a GPS. And no, we don't need the phone, because I can get us there. And then after your 2 weeks vacation is almost up, you arrive at your destination because you are never willing to get help. And your wife is very angry by that time because we just got here and now we got to go home because I messed up our whole trip. I messed up my whole life because I wasn't willing to say, God, how do you want me to live my life? It's how many Christians live their lives, though. They neglect the word. They mess up what their responsibilities are, whether it's family relationships, children, church relationships, and the list could go on. We mess up because we've neglected the word. And just like the Israelites, when we mess up, we blame God for the mess. God, you're not loving. You don't care for me. You don't love me. And we've messed it all up because we were not willing to follow God's word. We're not willing to be in it daily. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. That's when your way will be prosperous before the Lord. And let me just say, prosperous does not mean that everything is going to go easy for you. Joshua's life going forward, I mean, he's in battle after battle after battle. Just think, the first thing he gets to is he's going to go, Joshua is like, okay, God, I'm going to obey. Oh, wait, there's a swollen river at flood stage, and I'm supposed to cross that first. Yeah, just believe me. Do what I say. The waters part. Wow. But yet, my way's prosperous. I get across the river, but Lord, there's a walled city. Well, just go march around it. And the walls, well, I'll take care of it. Okay. Boom, the walls fall down. Boy, just follow what God wants you to do. And all of a sudden, there's sin in the camp. And all of a sudden, some guys are dying because somebody sinned. Things aren't going well, God. Tell you what, just follow what I say to do. You see, there were problems in his life, but he kept applying God's word to those problems, and he got through those problems. See, the answer to life's problems are found in the word of God. The answer for how to fulfill our responsibilities are in the word of God. The real problem in our lives often is our lack of time asking God, how should I live my life? By spending time in his word. And lastly, you can fulfill your responsibilities that have given you by God because of his presence. Because of his presence. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. We can fulfill the responsibilities God has given us because of his presence. God has a task for you to do. God has given you his word as a guide. And he's promised you his presence. And he says, don't be afraid or dismayed. Often when we are afraid or dismayed, what do we start to do? We start to worry. God says, don't worry. I've got this. Worry is the opposite of what God's word tells us to do. We worry because we don't see God present with us, or we don't trust him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't worry. Cast your worries to God, and he cares for you. Most of you have worried about something. How many of you admit to worrying about something for a week before? Very few of you are worried. Oh, you know, most of us have worried about something for a week before. I got an illustration from Jim Berg on worry. And this is what he said. Worry is like going to the grocery store and looking for an item, and having not found it, you ask an employee who affirms, we don't carry that. Okay? And most of you would just walk out of the store, but this is what worry's like. For the next week, you go back into the store and you look all over the store for that item, and then you go find that employee again and ask, where's that item? I can't find it. We don't carry that. In other words, you do the same thing over and over again, even though it doesn't bring you results. Worry never brings the results that we want it to bring. That sounds pretty foolish, doesn't it? Go to the store every day asking for the same thing and never finding it. But that's often what we do when we worry. We keep going back to our own ideas, our own thoughts. We run things over and over and over again in our minds. And we come out with the same outcome. If you didn't find the answer in the first day of worry, why would you think that you'd find the answer on the second day? Or in reality, if you didn't find the answer in the first couple of hours, why do you think you'll find it on your own? Jim Berg said, if he thinks of something that is like worry, if he starts to think, I'm worrying about this, and he cannot work it out by the second time he thinks about it, he's committed to ask someone else for help, because he's already applying biblical, he's already applying biblical truths. And if he can't figure it out on his own, I'm going to go and ask somebody else to help me figure this out. See, when we worry, we really, I don't think, believe that God is present with us and God is there to help us. So do you really believe that God is present with you? If you do, you probably should react differently in the responsibilities of life that God has given to each of you. See, God has a task for you to do. God has given His word as a guide. He has promised His presence in your life. Why not commit to living like Joshua? Why not commit to being strong and courageous, following God's plan, following God's truth, seeking for God's way in the midst of life, responsibilities? And for some of you, why not surrender to the role God has given to you? Why not surrender? Men, why not become the leaders in your home? Men, when it comes to, I've heard of homes, and I've been in a home. Sometimes it's like, should we go to church tonight? Men, your answer should always be, if possible, it's not should we go to church. We will be at church tonight. Honey, you're too sick? Well, sorry, but I'm going to go because I want to make sure, unless you're dying or something, honey, I'm going to go. If you're that sick, I might stay with you. But, you know, men, are you the one who says, honey, let's go to church, or are you the one that honey's dragging out the door? Are you the one that makes sure that the family's at church? That's just one of the responsibilities that men need to be the leader in. And if you're not, guys, shame on you. Shame on you if you're not the leader in your home, because you're not fulfilling God's responsibilities that He's given you. Father, I come before You today thankful for Your word. Lord, I know that I don't fulfill it, all the responsibilities that I have, as well as I should. And forgive me, Lord, for that. And I know there are men and women and sons and daughters and bosses and employees maybe out here that in some area of responsibility of their life, they're failing. They're not fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given. God has given us so many promises. I pray, Lord, that first of all, leaders in homes would strive to be the spiritual leaders in that home, would strive to lead scripturally. And if they don't know that, that they would dig into Ephesians chapter 5 and do some praying and do some thinking about that, do some meditating on it, and discern, what can I do to become more of a spiritual leader? Wives, what can you do to help your husbands as leaders? It's a lot easier to lead when we are submissive. Father, we ask for your help today for anybody who has been convicted of anything that your word has brought up. I pray, Lord, that all of us would fulfill the responsibilities that we have and strive to be more God-honoring in those. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.